Now we have a few people standing in the back just to let you know there's a full open pew right up front. I know it's a scary thing to be up front, but just to let you know it's here. You're welcome to come up. We can probably get 5-6 people easily up here. And this means this homily is meant just for you. This first Sunday of Lent, we're given to consider this image of Jesus in the desert, undergoing temptation, being tempted by Satan. Now, this is a scene that's familiar to our imagination, but it's interesting to note that in Luke's gospel, we're given more information. We're given more details about what Jesus is going through, what this conversation is like, what this temptation is like. Whereas in the scene we just listened to with Mark, we're told only that Jesus was in the desert being tempted by Satan. And so much of what was actually going on there is left to our imaginations. Now, over the course of our 2,000-year tradition, we have many examples of spiritual writers trying to get at what happens in the human heart when we undergo temptation. This experience that each of us undergoes, being tempted. How do we understand that? What's going on in a human person? Now, God, when he became man, wanted to enter into our human condition, to know what that's like, to be in our shoes. And so he gave himself to everything except for actually giving in to sin. So Jesus underwent temptation. Now, we of course have many different examples of spiritualities within the church, of different approaches to the interior life. But when we look at lots of our tradition, we see we can highlight four sort of key steps in our heart when we're undergoing temptation. And by doing so, it can sort of help to break down what's happening and then to better know how to deal with it, how to combat that temptation. So we can point out those four simple steps, if you will. First, there's suggestion, so the suggestion of sin. Then dialogue, right? We enter into dialogue and start talking to that sinful thought. Then there's consent, where we consent. We give our will over to it, and we carry through the action. And then finally, if we do that often enough, well, we get in the habit of that vice, of that certain passion, and it becomes all the more difficult to get ourselves out of it. So briefly, we can look at these four steps and try to understand that dynamic that Jesus was undergoing and that each of us undergoes in different ways. So first we have suggestion. That first suggestion of sin. We might, in our cartoon imaginations, we might be able to think of, you know, the little angel on one shoulder and the little devil on the other, and the one whispers that, you know, something bad to get our attention. Maybe silly and simplistic, but if we think about our experience of being tempted, not too far off from that first step. There's some suggestion that gets our attention. And maybe it unsettles us. Breaks our deep peace, but at the same time, there's something seductive about it. There's something attractive. Otherwise, we wouldn't give ourselves over to it. There's that promise that in the end ends up to be a lie, but that promise that, hey, maybe this is going to be something good. This will make you feel better, whatever the case may be. Now, that first step of suggestion, that's the step where it's easiest for us to recognize what's happening and turn away from it immediately, and not keep going down that road. But what often happens is, when the suggestion comes, instead of turning away, well, we enter into dialogue with it. We start to reason, and this is where we're very good at justifying our sinful action, our sinful inclination. We start to think, well, maybe this isn't so bad, or I can take a pass on this one. After all, I'm really tired, or that person really deserves this. He has it coming to him. And we start to dialogue and reason. And when we dialogue with that little fellow on the shoulder or with the serpent, we know he's a very smooth talker and it very easily leads us to that next step of consent, where we give ourselves over to it, where we act in a way that's contrary to the gospel, in a way that's contrary to our conscience. This is a taking of position that's contrary to the gospel. And we hear in today's gospel that Jesus was tempted by Satan. Now the word Satan, before it was sort of used and understood as a proper noun, as a name, originally comes from the Hebrew word, ha-satan, which means adversary. So when we consent to that temptation, we take a position that's adversarial to the gospel. And now we do that often enough, it becomes easier and easier, and we find ourselves in a mess of vice, and it's tough to turn away. Now, we think about our experience of temptation. There might be some parallels here to our lives. But we recognize also that sometimes it happens so quickly. We don't recognize the steps along the way that lead us there. Maybe there's that suggestion, someone offends you, it leads to that anger, and before you know it, before you realize anything is happening, well, you shoot off that vitriolic email because they have that coming. Or you fly off the handle at your spouse or kids or coworker before really considering what's going on interiorly. Or there's that suggestion that comes with the sin of lust. Right? There's that image that finds its way in front of you, but all of a sudden, you know, makes that train start moving very fast in that direction, and one finds himself lost in a sea of pornography. Many different examples of how that first suggestion, if we don't recognize it, if we don't catch it, it can lead us towards that path of consent. So part of Lent is that it gives us an opportunity to get to know ourselves better, to get to know our own vulnerabilities, our own tendencies towards sin, because this process will work differently in each of us. Some of us are more vulnerable in some areas than others. It's a part of our work as Christians on the interior life is to come to recognize how we're tempted. Maybe there's certain times of day or certain moods or states of mind when you're more tired or when you're in a certain bad mood. Sometimes we're more susceptible to temptation than others. Sometimes it's easier to turn away than other times. And so Lent is an opportunity to recognize what that means to be tempted, what's going on in the human heart, how it's unfolding in our lives. And that better equips us to combat it. It better equips us to not become slaves to it. So we slow down that process in order to keep our freedom. We don't have to become slaves to temptation. Jesus wanted to experience our humanity. This includes being tempted. St. Augustine reminds us that no one is exempt from temptation. And he also tells us that we progress through this trial, that no one knows himself or herself except through trial and how we deal with it. And so it's important to recognize that the experience of temptation in and of itself isn't something that should or has to distance us from God, but rather, lived in the right way, can be something that we use to help to enter into that experience that Jesus shares with us. Now, yesterday evening, after Mass, a gentleman stopped me on the way out and he said, "Well, Father, I should have gone to a different Mass because your homily just took all the fun out of my life." Now, I assure you, that's not the intention of a homily talking about temptation. But rather, it's recognizing a reality of our life, of our spiritual life, and trying to equip our hearts to pay attention to what's going on. Not to take the fun out of our lives, but to get us closer to that source of true joy, that source of freedom, by not becoming enslaved to these things that would pull us away from our own authentic hearts, from our relationship with the Lord, from our ability to love others genuinely. And so it should be said that this commentary on the interior life, on temptation, it's not to lead us to be a bunch of navel gazers that just walk around with our heads down, worried about ourselves. That wouldn't be Christian spirituality. But rather, it's about doing the interior work that helps us to be more honest with ourselves, more stable with who we are, and therefore in a better position to be giving of ourselves, to have mature, humble Christian hearts that know how to share those hearts with others.